It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. We heard in the top of the hour news about the frightening rise in predictions by the WHO, the World Health Organization, about the Ebola virus outbreak. Tomorrow on this program, on our News Buzz edition, we'll talk with Libby Casavant. A few weeks ago at the beginning of the month, we talked with her while she was in Monrovia, the capital of Liberia. Now she's back in Iowa, and we'll talk about that experience. If you remember, I'm a hydrologist working for NGOs in Liberia. She'll recount the experience of leaving and why she left Liberia with the Ebola outbreak tomorrow on this program. Well, kids are back in school, and I hope your kids, the kids in your life, are doing well, transitioning from the summer schedule to the classroom. This half hour, we want to examine a dramatically different grading practice. It's called standards referenced grading. It's new in the Des Moines Public School District this year. It's a new grading practice that will require students to meet specific academic standards and, among other things, will exclude factors like homework completion and class participation. Joining us to talk about this new grading system, Nancy Smith, an education consultant through the Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development. Hello, Nancy.
Hello there. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Glad to have you on the program. Mary Cooksley is with us as well, the Director of Curriculum and Instruction at Oskaloosa Community School District. And Mary Cooksley, welcome to our program. You're here to share how the program has been implemented, I believe, in the past 3 years in the Oskaloosa area.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Let's start with Nancy. What are the basics of this standards referenced grading? How is it different?
Well, one of the things that makes it primarily different from what we typically assume grading is about.
Nancy Smith, are you there? Oh, I'm sorry. We seem to have lost that connection. Let's go to Mary Cooksley. Are you still there?
I am.
Okay, very good. Hopefully we'll have Nancy back very quickly. But can you pick up where she was cut off to tell us how this is different than traditional grading?
Sure. In the past, when we went to school, when we received our report card and you got assignments back, you would get a points possible, like a 12 out of 12. And on the report card, you would receive an A, B, C, D, or F. With standards reference grading, not only do you get that letter grade, you also get very specific information about the content or the skills or what you need to know and be able to do by the time you get done with that grade or that course.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So can you give me an example of, I guess this is in math. Let's take math, perhaps, as an example.
Sure. In math, for instance, in all of our content areas, we have what we call the grade level benchmarks. So we took the Iowa core, and from each of the standards of the Iowa core, the outcomes for each grade at each subject area, we created grade level benchmarks. Each of those grade level benchmarks appear on each and every report card for all students. So for each of those grade level benchmarks, for example, at the elementary, one might be that they can multiply and they can divide. And so you might have a GLB for multiplication. In the past, you would just get a math grade. Now you get a grade on whether or not and how well you can multiply, how well you can divide, how well you can add fractions, how well you can do any kind of math skill. So parents really have an idea, and students have an idea, what are my areas of strength, and what are those areas that maybe I need a little bit more support in.
Mm-hmm. Does this then do away with the idea of a curve in a classroom?
Oh, that's an interesting concept. Curves usually are who does well, and then the grades are subjected. I'm not really sure that at our high school or any of our grades a curve really played a part anyway. That's probably more of a college phenomenon. But basically, I think what we're saying is that we are evening the playing field for all students this way. We're not, as you mentioned at the opening, not providing additional extra credit for maybe bringing in tissues. We are separating practice work from the academic grade, and those non-academic things are very much separated on the report card. So it's only about academically what evidence do you have that supports that you have met that standard.
Okay, so the bringing in the tissues or the bottle of glue or whatever that is needed in the classroom is not part of your grade anymore. Class participation, not part of the grade either?
Not necessarily a letter grade. That all becomes part of whether or not you have shown the evidence. Now, we know that kids process things quite differently. I would probably sit in a classroom and have to think things through and maybe not raise my hand. That itself is not evidence of learning. The products that the students create are the evidence of that learning. So we're trying to move away from those things that don't provide direct evidence of learning and remove those from the academic grade.
Okay, so you introduced this about 3 years ago in the Oskaloosa Community School District. How was it received initially? Did you do it by all at once, or did you gradually introduce it?
That's a good question. When we first started to aligning to Iowa Core, not all of our subjects had grade level benchmarks. And so as we worked through that process, all of our content areas now, year four starting, all have grade level benchmarks. And we did decide to go K-12 with standards reference grading. And the reason we did that is because it's about good, solid grading practices. And we thought, why should only one grade or one building really have the benefit of that? And since we are just adding information, we weren't taking away information. It made it a lot more palatable for parents to accept that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what were the biggest hurdles that you faced?
Believe it or not, probably just from the culture of grading and receiving grades that our teachers are used to and parents are used to. Once we told parents, don't worry, we're not going to take away that traditional letter grade, they seem to be quite okay with it. In fact, at the elementary level, they kind of said, oh, well, no big deal. We really like to have the code, the 1, 2, 3, 4, and this provides us a lot more information.
Mm-hmm.
At the high school level, however, we're dealing with grade level types of things that are going to get kids into college.
Exactly.
GPAs, class rank. We still have not done away with that. And as soon as parents heard that, because the last thing we want to do is ever to stop a student from receiving some financial aid or benefit or getting into the college of their choice because of a different type of a grading system that we have in place.
Okay, so how do you do that? Because colleges are expecting a GPA, a cumulative GPA coming out of high school. Can that be synced up with this standards reference grading?
Yeah, because we're still giving a letter grade, and so all that is converted into the same GPA scale that we had before. So that's not anything new and different. The only thing different is our addition to the, we give a 1, 2, 3, or 4 for each of the grade level benchmarks. So if you will, we're really just giving a lot more focused information to parents. And it really helps to focus our teachers on specifically what is it that students need to know and be able to do, and how well are students doing on each of those skills that might seem isolated, but big picture, they really give a big picture of what students know or be able to do.
What type of skepticism did you receive when implementing this, perhaps at the very beginning? I imagine even from teachers you had some skepticism.
Yeah, again, from parents at the high school, our biggest skepticism came with our GPA. And once they understood and knew that that GPA was still going to be there and we weren't threatening really what they were used to, they came on board. In fact, some of the high school parents even said, you know what, this is great because now I know what to ask a teacher at a parent-teacher conference. I know specifically what my students can do and maybe what they're struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with our teachers, having been one and knowing that that grading is really embedded in what our past practice has been, it has been a real shift for us to understand that 1, 2, 3, 4 and really how to apply that consistently. Also taking away grading practice work, taking away those academic things where I think some teachers, I would say, struggle. That might not even be the right word. That might be too strong. But questioned a little bit or tried to wrap their head around, so what does that academic grade mean and how do I pull those non-academic things out? And really the consistency, just application of being consistent with our 1, 2, 3, 4, I think has been one of our, and I wouldn't call it a struggle, I think that's just a challenge that we have.
Mary Cooksley is with us, Director of Curriculum and Instruction at the Oskaloosa Community School District. Nancy Smith is with us again. Nancy was cut off very quickly after her first introduction. Nancy, I believe you're back with us.
I am. I'm so sorry about that.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't know the reason for it, but let's get on with this because you're the education consultant through the Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development. You know a lot about standards referenced grading. Give us a national picture. Mary has been talking with us about it. It's been implemented there. How widespread is this in the United States now?
I would say it's growing. I still think we're less than 50% of districts across the country are really implementing it. Most are doing what they call standards referenced, but it's not truly a standards reference grading. It's more that they are aligning their assessments to the standards and saying this question looks at this standard, but really they're still using the same practices. They're just more correlating. What we see across the country is really much more at the elementary level, true standards reference grading, descriptive report cards and things like that. It's much slower moving at the secondary level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked, and I don't know if you were on the line when we talked about making sure that students were not disadvantaged as high school students when they apply to college, and that's a concern of yours as well.
Exactly, and it really isn't. I've talked with many colleges. I worked at I was a professor at a university here in Arizona for a time. And really, colleges, when they look at admissions, they do things that we don't even realize they're doing to transcripts anyways for admissions. For example, they deweight grades that are, you know, extra point grades for honors courses or AP courses anyway. So GPAs that are over 4.0 are completely reduced anyway at the college level. A lot of times the colleges will ask high school specifically for interpretations of transcripts. What do these grades mean? What were they based on? And so it really isn't an issue for colleges. It's more in our minds that it might be.
Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about class participants, some of the things, bringing in tissues or glue or whatever you need to, being taken out of the grading. Also, class participation not needed in the grading. Homework completion not graded. Explain that one, because Nancy Smith, I would first jump to the conclusion that a lot of kids would not be doing homework then.
Well, you know, that's the fear, that if we don't grade it, they won't do it. But truthfully, we've been grading homework and giving smiling faces at kindergarten all the way through. And as a former high school teacher, I know that that did not promote high completion of homework anyway. So if kids aren't motivated by grades, that's not going to be a reason to do homework. And what we need to do with homework is really turn it into the learning opportunities. For some students, taking the grading away will actually promote their participation in practicing and doing the homework, because when they come back to school or to class the next day, it's going to be reviewed. We're going to go over it. They're going to see how it contributes to their assessment of how well they are performing on standards. And so
this is just
homework.
Just to make it clear, this is really requiring on the part of students and maybe parents to a mindset change.
Absolutely. This is a paradigm shift in so many different ways. It takes the emphasis off of grades and puts it on learning, which I think is what school should be about anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when students come back and they're looking at what do I know, what don't I know, in very specific ways, and they can set their own goals for what are my next steps toward mastery. When I have a chance to redo things so that I truly learn, that really shifts what schooling is about. The other great thing about not grading homework is, how do you know who did the homework? That's a typical thing teachers talk about all the time. Well, is this parents' homework? Is this a tutor's homework? Was this copied from a friend on the bus? How do we know who did the homework? So just grading it doesn't necessarily mean it's a quality effort on practice anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mary Cooksley, was that a problem there, getting over the fact that so in your school district where this is implemented fully, no teacher may grade homework?
We actually came to a compromise with that. We would love to be able to see no homework graded, and we do have some teachers that have that policy. What we have said, and we actually call it practice work, because we don't want to send home work that has not already been, quote-unquote, mastered in the classroom. Practice makes permanent, and so what we want is, if they already know the skill, we really just want practice opportunities for them. So, again, when I'm hearing the discussion about students not doing the homework, that's exactly the discussion that went on here. Well, if we don't grade it, they're not going to do it. And we're actually finding that to be just the opposite, just as Nancy said, is that really students want feedback and they want specific feedback about how they're going to do better the next time. And when we provide that feedback to them, really it is about learning. It's not about chasing that grade or chasing the points from that assignment, because we know that we've got some students that go home and do not have the support that other students have. Let's face it, it's a compliance thing. Students were getting points for doing assignments that maybe they weren't even completing, as Nancy said. And we were finding that to be the case as well. So those students that can perform in the classroom, we really have a much better idea of who can actually do the work, and now we have really good evidence of that work. And so we're finding students are saying, you know what, give us feedback about how we can improve. I can do it better next time, and I can show you that I can meet that standard.
Talking about standards referenced grading with Mary Cooksley, Director of Curriculum and Instruction at Oskaloosa Community School District, where they've been practicing that for some 3 years. Also, an educational consultant, Nancy Smith, is with us. Of course, in the news, I want to mention this because it's in our news quite a bit. Common Core, this educational initiative in the United States that details what K through students should know in English language arts and mathematics by the end of each grade. Highly controversial. In fact, yesterday, perhaps you caught the news, Governor Bobby Jindal of Louisiana is announcing that he's suing the federal government for violating states' rights in an attempt to implement Common Core. Nancy Smith, how does this standards reference grading relate to Common Core standards, if at all?
Well, it does. The thing that kind of makes me crazy about Common Core is that Common Core, the document, is standards. They are a document of standards that were originated through our state governors and our key state school superintendents. So it's not a federal document at all. It was written, you know, with a collaboration among the states. So states had the choice to whether to adopt them as their state standards or not. So with that said, every state has state standards. I mean, every state has standards, whether they're Common Core, whether they're state written. We've always had standards. We continue to have standards. So when we talk about standards reference, it is to the standards that the state has chosen.
Mm-hmm.
So in Iowa, you have Common Core state standards adopted. So your standard reference will be against the Common Core document.
When a lot of the controversy we hear nationally about Common Core is whether the hands of determining this Common Core is in the federal hands or in the state's hands, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And truthfully, I don't really understand the controversy because the documents were not written at a federal level. States had the rights to adopt it or not. And it's just a standards document. That's all it is. Now, the testing, that's a whole different issue. You know, the end-of-year testing, that is a completely different issue. Mm-hmm. Than the document itself of standards.
Mary Cooksley, do you have a view on this, how it relates to Common Core?
Well, now you take the Common Core, and Iowa has a unique approach that other states do not. Obviously, we took the Common Core, and we were part of that consortium, but we have what we call the Iowa Core standards that Nancy alluded to. With that document, they took the Common Core and, if you will, married those two documents. And so really, the Common Core and the Iowa Core are guidelines for us at a district level. So there still is a little bit of district control over that, meaning we get to what they use the word unpack or determine the importance or the meaning of each of those standards and then what those look like in our individual classrooms. But they really are very distinct outcomes so that every second grader across the state of Iowa, every 7th grader, every 11th grader is learning the same high rigorous content at a very high level so that they can compete with all of the other states that unfortunately have been outperforming Iowa for several years. So here in Iowa, I think we have embraced the Iowa Core and the Common Core, and I don't know that we see some of the controversy that we have heard about in other states.
And I think many states, there's been controversies, and usually it dies down. You know, there's a lot of states that have gone through, oh, no, this is a federal takeover, and then, you know, reality has set in. But one of the things with that's great about this document is that states do have the leeway to adjust them for their specific states, and most states have done that. They've taken the core document and then added to or tweaked around.
Yep.
with the actual standards.
Standards reference grading has been in the Oskaloosa Community School District for some 3 years, Mary Cooksley, under your direction. It's new this year in the Des Moines Public School District. What do you want to say to, I don't know, teachers or parents, administrators in Des Moines, advice about potential pitfalls in implementing this? What would you say?
Right. I think a lot of those pitfalls really can be addressed in planning. We took a lot of time to make sure that we had everything that we could think of that needed to be accomplished before we actually moved this into classrooms. Communication with parents, critical, very critical, and not just informing them, but having parent meetings, but making sure that you, all the way down to your, basically your student management system is in place and that teachers know philosophically about this. You include your teachers in the conversations. That is absolutely critical as well. They also help to make the decisions. So going slow, I think going with standards referenced, I think is a really great transition for parents rather than going right to standards based, which I think a lot of schools have made the mistake of doing.
What's the mistake? What happens? What can happen if you do it too quickly?
Now, imagine you're in middle school, and I know that there was a school district, Ankeny, I believe, in the state of Iowa, who wanted to go true standards-based, meaning we're going to take away letter grades entirely from the report card and from reporting out grades. And so that is a huge shift. That's a huge mindset change for parents as they got A, B, C, D when they were kids and growing up. It's what you know. And so if you can have a transition and keep those letter grades and then get parents educated on what that 1, 2, 3, 4 of the standards referenced might be, I think that transition to standards-based is going to be a lot easier journey.
Okay, we've run out of time. Thank you very much, Mary Cooksley, Director of Curriculum and Instruction at Oskaloosa Community Schools. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you for having me.
And Nancy Smith, Education Consultant with the Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development. Thank you for joining us to talk about standards referenced grading, which is introduced new this year to the Des Moines Public School District. Nancy, thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Joining me now, Charity Nebbe, host of Talk of Iowa. You're in to tell us what's going to be happening tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
Now. That's right. And we've gone from scorching summer to maybe just a little touch of autumn in the air. We're going to talk, it's Hort Day tomorrow, of course. So we're going to talk about chrysanthemums and other fall flowers, some fall blooming perennials. It should be a lot of fun.
We'll look forward to that. 10 o'clock tomorrow, Talk of Iowa, River to River tomorrow at noon. It's a news buzz. Hope you'll tune in for that. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.